Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Hello, Wisconsin, and welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli. Today is October 11, 2016. With the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. I'd like to welcome Patrick Ryan and Larry Knuth to the program as co-hosts with me today. Gentlemen, hello and welcome.
Good morning, Joe. This is Larry.
Patrick, are you out there with us? We have lost
I got to figure
there.
Out my mute button, but yes, I am here. Sorry about
okay.
that.
All right. So
good to be with you guys.
Yeah, good to have Larry and Patrick. Good to have you both with us today. And we look forward to getting into today's program. We're going to be discussing the ongoing work that a recently appointed state legislative study committee on volunteer firefighter and EMT shortages is working on. The Wisconsin legislature authorized the creation of this committee a few months back. And according to their website, the study committee is directed to examine issues related to the shortage of volunteer firefighters and emergency medical technicians in the state. And, you know, Wisconsin is not immune to what's happening nationally either. That's kind of the larger scope of things. But I'll tell you, we're real thankful and appreciative that the committee was organized and that they're addressing this. The last time that this was formally discussed in this type of setting was back in 1996, 20 years ago. And unfortunately, nothing was done at that time. So it's great to have this activity. It's great to bring people together. Patrick and Larry, what are your thoughts regarding this?
Well, I certainly think that, as you said, Joe, it's been 20 years. It's been top of mind, but I think there's been really an impact of recent years affecting the service capabilities of communities, both in fire and EMS. And I'm very happy that this committee was put together, and I think they're doing great work.
Yeah, this is Patrick. I think we've really seen the struggles, really kind of mount and kind of accumulate over the, obviously the last 20 years, but especially over the last, 6 to 8. So, a lot of challenges in our industry, and it's good to know that the legislature is interested in listening and looking for solutions or ways to make things better. And it's good to have representation from our organization on that committee.
Very good. Thank you. And, joining us here quite shortly is Dana Seckler and John Ike. They're both committee members. Dana shared with us at our recent PAW Board of Directors meeting that typically when a legislative committee is created, 80% of the time there's some type of legislative action that comes out of it. So we're at a pivotal point here in emergency medical services and the firefighting world as well, since we're so synonymous with each other. And this is such an important discussion. Just so we can frame this up, the study committee, according to the website, is directed to examine issues related to the shortage of volunteer firefighters and emergency medical technicians in the state, particularly in the rural areas. And the purpose is to propose measures to address these shortages. The committee's been meeting since July, and they've been meeting every month in Madison. They've heard testimony and opinion from many fire and EMS leaders throughout the state, as well as those in state government and others. And their next meeting is October 18th in Madison. But we really appreciate Dana and John joining us. Just to frame this up, also, Dana is director in chief with Baraboo District Ambulance. John is director with the Wisconsin Rural Health. This program will last about 30 minutes, and we'll be going about 30 minutes long. It is sponsored by Stark Collection Agency and McNeil & Company. And after our break, we'll be talking with John and Dana. Stay with us. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin.
The fine art of successful ambulance billing and collections begins with the Stark Agency, located in Madison. The Stark Agency provides full-service debt collection, specializing in EMS and ambulance patient billing. They're also experts in the Wisconsin Offset Trip Program, a new option for ambulance services. For more information, call 877-274-7764. That number again, 877-274-7764. The Stark Agency is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and a member of the Wisconsin Collectors Association.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back. This is Joe Covelli with Patrick Ryan and Larry Knuth. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. We appreciate you listening today. We're talking about the recently appointed and active Legislative Study Committee. I'd like to welcome into the program Dana Seckler and John Ike. Thank you very much for calling in today.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. It's nice to have you with us. Thanks for stepping forward. We sent the invitation to the committee, and we really appreciate both of you calling in today. I think many who are listening today or will listen to the recorded playback probably haven't been in the room to hear exactly what's been transpiring these last several months as the committee has been gathering information and hearing from various individuals throughout the state and probably nationally. And probably one of the first questions we'd probably like to get out there is, what have you been hearing from the participants to not only the committee, but also those that have been testifying before the group?
Well, it's been a very interesting testifying that we hear. Interestingly, it's not anything necessarily new. It all has to deal with the shortages related to both fire departments and ambulance services, whether they're combined services or whether they're separate. When we heard from Dan Williams, who actually had sat on the advisory committee years ago and had testified almost 20 years earlier, he had actually said that all he had to do was dust his notes off from 20 years ago and bring them forward into now, just to say the same problems are existing now. They're just compounded drastically. And the answers are still the same answers that they were proposing. They had just never been picked up or accepted by the leaders and the powers to be at that point in time. So from there, we've heard just many, 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 many testimonies on how fragile the volunteer system is for both fire and EMS in the state of Wisconsin. John?
Well, I would say I totally agree. And we've also heard from the state agencies that oversee these two areas. We've heard from the VOTEC schools and their sense of how this goes. But I would say that, you know, one of the main themes for me that's coming out of the testimony from those in the field is along two lines. One, as Dana said, is saying, look, we've been dealing with this issue for decades. It's time that we do something about it. But another is there's some tension there for those saying, look, for volunteers, especially in rural areas, rural and remote areas, the requirements for continuing education and standards are too much. We should lower them. We should make it easier for them so we lower the barriers to entry and we get more volunteerism. There's on the other side of that are folks who say, no, these are life and death decisions. We should not lower the standards. We should make sure that our people are trained, but we should figure out ways to make these barriers lower to facilitate people getting involved. And I would say that I certainly am on that latter side of it. I think the work is just too important, and I certainly appreciate the difficulty that everyone's going through, but I think there's a lot of room for improvement in process improvement, which isn't very sexy. But basically we say, how do we get more classes in more places that are cheaper and easier for people to get to so that they are supported in the good work that they're doing?
Yeah, I would agree that was one of the major topics, is whether it was the training, the education, the minimum standards. There was some discussion on trying to lower the standards, for lack of a better word. But for the most part, even those people were willing to accept that even though people are volunteers, again, whether they're in the EMS community or the fire community or both, that there's still a level of professionalism that we have to hit. And in order to maintain that high level of professionalism, we have to have high levels of standards for the training, for the education, for the testing. And even though people are acknowledging that that's a barrier, we finally, I think, have come to the point where we've acknowledged that we can't lower that standard or bar, and we have to stay as high as possible in order to keep public safety in the professional realm.
Absolutely. You know, there's another issue that comes up again and again, and it seems like people are experiencing a certain dynamic with their local tech school, and they're assuming that is true across the board. So we'll have some testimony from folks who say, we don't have a problem with our tech schools. They're great. We couldn't ask for anything better. And others who say it's very difficult to schedule classes. We never hear about things. There's communication issues, et cetera. So I think part of it is the schools have identified that they have an advisory council per each school in each community. And I think that if your local VOTEC is not giving you the services that you need, it's important for all of us to find our local school and to get on that advisory board, attend those meetings, et cetera, to make the needs known. Because if the schools have put this forward to say, here's the mechanism by which you can improve it, and we're not taking advantage of it, then that's on us. Secondly, though, I think it's really important. I would really like to see a statewide council of EMS and fire leaders or interested parties to meet regularly, say quarterly, with VOTEC schools as a whole, sort of the HQ, to bring concerns forward from their industry. Because it feels like there's a disconnect. It feels like there's this sense among EMS and fire that there are issues, but as far as the schools know, or experience, things are fine. And so bridging that with some kind of regular communication, I think, would really help things along.
Excellent points. I just want to bring out something else, too, because if we look at the EMS system here in Wisconsin as a system, and we look at all the EMS personnel in the state, I don't have the firefighter numbers. All I have are the EMS personnel numbers. But if we look at it as a system, just 2 years ago, we had 22,000 licensed EMS professionals or EMS people that deliver care, practitioners. That includes first responders on up. And as of July 2016, James Newland, our state EMS director, reported to the commission we had just over 16,500, according to the presentation. So we've seen some erosion in the numbers just in the last couple of years. This becomes a pressing issue. And of the total of 16,500, 2,700 are first responders. So they're not a large chunk of the system at all as to what we have today. But the system is robust because there's just over 637 licensed providers, meaning first responder groups, ambulance services, and so on. But if you boil that down, there's 328 ambulance services. So those are the numbers that we have to work with. Plus, we have 250 medical directors out there, some of them managing or working with multiple first responder groups and ambulance services. So that's the system that we have. Have you talked about any ways to better manage the system so that it's not such a robust system? I know we need numbers of people to do this, but is there a way that we can deliver care efficiently to the entire state?
You know, DHS did testify, and I think they're testifying at our next meeting next week to bring some more information. They talked about EMS as a system, as a whole, at the first meeting. The EMS office did have the ability to speak, as well as some of the administrators from even above the EMS office level at DHS. And they did talk about trying to keep it as a system. They brought up, you know, the healthcare coalition groups that are meeting regionally now, that are trying to also have some funding go through those entities, and they're trying to get EMS involved as a system there. There has been some discussion of late in trying to create system-wide solutions more at the county level. And I'm not saying that's the only solution or the only thing. It's just kind of being talked about and saying, if you have several ambulance services all in the same county, and each one of them are struggling in one way or another, would it be beneficial to have those ambulance services that are neighbors to each other start working together to help out during days where they know that their shifts are short shifted. They may not have as many volunteers during certain hours of coverage, but the next city, village, or ambulance service next door might have some extra people to help out. And so there has been discussions on making it easier to work with your neighboring services. Cross-credentialing is one of those ways that the EMS office has made it very easy that you can cross, if you belong to one service, you can very easily cross-credential to several other services so that with this limited group, you know, you gave a lot of numbers out, and those are accurate from what I heard, but there's still a shortage with those numbers. Can we sustain a system by being able to work together, two or three ambulance services together? And so that's just one of the ideas for system development that's being thrown out there.
One thing that I'd like to suggest is it feels like there's a almost a misconception that it is either regionalization or there is not, there's status quo. And I think it's more helpful to think of it as a spectrum. I mean, on one hand, you have independent services in every township doing their own thing with their own ambulances and their own service directors. On the other end of the spectrum, you have, I guess, one giant EMS service for the state. But in between those two, we have ways that in hospitals we talk about affiliation, where two services, it's almost like an enhanced mutual aid, where they say, well, we want to work together, and we've got this paperwork burden that nobody likes. Well, what if there was one entity doing it for both services or for three services? So you try and bring together the administrative functions while keeping all of the ambulances and staff where they are originally, so that each local community has their people and has their wheels where they were before. But the administrative stuff that really, I don't think anybody gets into EMS to do administrative stuff, that is grouped, and therefore burdens are reduced. And I think we get more possibilities when you have services where you have higher license levels, and you can get the advantage of that over more services that couldn't afford it or couldn't support it on their own. So when we talk about regionalizing, I like the idea of us talking about maybe with baby steps, talking about affiliating, working together, and then if it feels right, moving forward with that. One of the things, the reasons, and I think perhaps one of the reasons Dana mentioned this about countywide is levy limits were brought up by a lot of the testifiers saying they are really harming local communities who want to be able to raise local funds, but they can't. The response from legislators was that there is still the referendum process, and there is countywide is exempt from levy limits. So that's a huge advantage to be able to do that. So certainly at the county level, not even just two services, say, but at the county level, for fundraising, that could be a big boost. It isn't right for every county, but where it could work, that's certainly some incentive.
Excellent points, John and Dana. Thank you very much. Larry and Patrick, do you have some questions for Dana and John?
This is Patrick. No real questions. I guess that was a really nice overview of things. And, you know, this is such a complex issue, and you got such different views. You know, at Ryan Brothers in Madison, I cannot relate to what they have to deal with in the northwest part of the state in terms of getting, you know, just getting enough staff to put together. And so, again, I have no answers, obviously, myself either, but it's a very difficult situation, and it's good to hear that we've got a lot of different people from different views, you know, coming together to speak about this. But continue to participate, I think, on the local level is about the best thing anybody can do to try to get their legislators to listen, because I think once this study ends, there'll be some obviously good things that come out of it, but, you know, that's not going to be the end of our work to continue to talk to our legislators to keep them, you know, knowledgeable about what's happening in all areas of the state and the struggles that we're going through and we need to try to overcome. So good work, guys.
Yes, this is Larry. Certainly I want to extend my appreciation to both John and Dana for, and I underscore this, volunteering their time to be on the committee. Thank you, gentlemen. I have a few concerns. Since we went through this process 20 years ago, do you see, you know, this? Is there a plan to wrap this up? Is it going to be ranked as to this, the list of solutions? I really echo what John had said about the VOTEC Advisory Board and involvement is being key. But I also heard that the legislators are realizing, being brought, you know, aware of this again. And there may be new legislators, and maybe those with some new ideas. So my question really is it, do you see it wrapping up? What is the conclusion? What's going to be the structure of the conclusion? Is it going to be ranking solutions? How is that going to move forward?
Well, if I could, I would say that already, so we've been meeting once a month since July, as Joe said, and the final meeting is scheduled for December, possibly January. Aimed at having some kind of draft legislation ready to go before February for the session. I think that staff and the legislators are already having discussions about legislation. You know, they've been taking notes on the ideas that have been put forward and those that seem popular, and trying to come up with some suggestions. It feels like they've already had kind of a bulleted list of suggestions. That's a long way from a bill. But I haven't heard anything about a ranking yet. Perhaps in October's meeting we're going to get there. I do think that the committee needs to start getting there, because I would hate for the committee members, sort of the public members, to be there just to be part of the discussion, which the legislators listen to and then go off in a corner and do their own legislative thing. I think, though, it is true that no matter what the committee comes up with, it's going to depend a lot on what the legislators involved are willing to carry forward. I mean, so we have, I believe, 2 Republican, 2 Democrat, 2 senators, 2 representatives. And so there's a certain dynamic politically right now. So I would imagine that money, suggestions for more money are going to be a harder sell. Suggestions that cost less but are release and reduce barriers and regulation are going to be easier sells. So those would be my guess. I mean, the committee is going to keep talking. We're going to try and push. I think the public members are pretty active, and so I think we're going to push to have some results that we all feel comfortable with. But at the end of the day, it's kind of what the legislators choose to move forward. So if they get feedback from the public, hint, hint, that, you know, that can be helped.
Yeah, there's been a number of suggestions that the staff for the Ledge Council has brought forth to the committee. Last month was a little bit more than the month before, and they just had the list of, hey, here's what we've heard, here's kind of what we interpreted. Is this something to pursue or not? And we talked at length on those, saying, okay, well, this could be, you know, massaged a little better. This one, absolutely not. So we've gone through that. Once we get those kind of decide, I'm sure we're going to next week and next month have some more of those thoughts and suggestions. Once we develop those, then it goes into the, well, what do we want to present to the legislature, and what do we want them to consider and discuss, because then it'll be ultimately up to them to decide where do they go forward from there. And it's tough. John had, I think, said that you have certain pockets of the state that are doing very well. They have an excellent volunteer base. They have a good support system. They are working with other entities. They're working with their neighbors. But it's still a local issue, and they're doing very well. Right next to them are services, both fire and EMS, that are suffering greatly. And so how do you write legislation to support the one service that is suffering, but because of lack of volunteers, shortage of volunteers, but not be detrimental to the other service? So these can be in a number of ways. They've already said just throwing money at the problem is not going to fix it overall. So we kind of know that's our extreme limit. But can you allow for services that work together to be exempt from levy limits or have levy limits caps be at a higher level so that they can absorb locally if they need to get some more funding. And they've been very clear as well at this group that they don't want to necessarily take away the individual identity of any of the services locally. You know, they don't. There were some rumors that were circulating. This committee is just trying to get rid of volunteers in the whole state and just make everybody paid. Well, that's absolutely not true. You know, that they don't want. They're just trying to make countywide services or regional services, and that's not true. There's been a great effort to recognize and respect the local entities and to help them maintain that entity while providing high quality service and trying to address that shortage. So we're still working on it. We're still looking for suggestions from people that are out in the community, from the public, from others. And as we get towards December, we're hoping that some of those suggestions will finally morph into a couple legislative pieces that we can present to the entire group.
I think it's going to be really important. Go ahead, John.
That's right.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be really important for us to acknowledge at the same time that there is a local piece to this, that, you know, rural areas have a tendency to not want to pay more taxes. Well, urban has that as well. But at a certain point, we have to say, if we live in a local area and our local needs are not being met, we have to allow ourselves to support our local services. I think too often EMS does not do a good enough job with telling their own story, with promoting what they do and asking for what they need. People do this because they think it's the right thing to do and they don't want to brag or ask. But we need to start bragging and asking, because I don't think that the local communities know enough how desperate times are financially and with volunteerism. And so we have to ask for their help. And when we ask for their help, I think they, in turn, need to step up and help. They can't just, all of us can't just say, well, we need the state to come in and pay for us. We have to say, if there's a local referendum, we need to step up and pay for that. And I think we also have to look at our cousins in fire and say, how do they do what they're able to do? They still want it to be better, but they, when we brought up leadership and how important that is, they were the first, they sort of said, oh, well, yeah, we already have that in place. So they've figured out how to support that and pay for that. And then I think we all need to look at our cousins over in law enforcement. I mean, one of the points I brought up there was, when was the last time you saw a volunteer cop in a rural community? Or a volunteer garbage collector, as Dana pointed out. I love that. And because it's, we have figured out as local communities, as small communities, as poor communities, how to afford law enforcement, as we should. It's the right thing to do. So how can we learn lessons from there and say, that's right, we need fire to be brought up to the level of law enforcement, we need EMS to be brought up to that same level so that we are all functioning as part of the public safety net.
All excellent perspective and points, Dana and John. And unfortunately, our time has passed very, very quickly here. We're already at the bottom of the hour. And so I want to extend our appreciation and thank you to both of you for being on the program today and for giving us a really good perspective on where things are at with the committee, the types of things that you're hearing about, for us to be able to ask you some questions and surely invite you back as this continues forward during the next few months to come back on the program and offer some highlights and updates to us as well. Did you have any comments in closing? We have about a minute, minute and a half.
If you can send in as many suggestions and thoughts that you have, John will do it, and I will certainly do it. We will present it to the group, and there is no dumb idea. We can take stuff and morph it into what's great for the rest of the state. So this is the first time in 20 years that we have the ear of the legislator again. So let's take advantage of it. Give us those ideas. Give us those suggestions. We will represent you well to the rest of the group. We will bring them up, and we will discuss them and debate them, and we will look for solutions. So just give us those ideas, and we will do our best to represent you.
Absolutely. Go to the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health website. Just Google that. Look up About Us, and I'm the director, John Eich, and send me an email. And Dana and I will definitely bring forward what we are what we are given. And we're happy to represent this. And one last thing, I think it's really important that even after the spotlight does fade with this legislative council, that we continue the momentum and we move forward on issues that perhaps didn't get the road that they needed, but we need to keep building that road forward.
Excellent. Thank you very much for being on the program today, Dana and John. We appreciate your perspective. Our appreciation also to others on the committee who are volunteering their time or participating or testifying before this group. There's obviously passion within emergency medical services in the fire industry. It's always been there. It will never go away. And the local system is entrusted to what is developed, not only at the state level for the overall system, but also at the local level. So thank you for carrying that message forward and for sharing your information with us. Patrick and Dana, did you have anything in closing?
This is Patrick. The only thing I'd say is Patrick definitely let's put that on the let's just make sure we get that on the calendar to get a wrap up of what went on once the session ends. I think that would be an excellent follow up.
Okay, very good. Larry?
No, again, just thank you, gentlemen, for, again, your volunteering your time today as well as the committee involvement.
Yes, extremely important work. Yeah, extremely important work. Thank you, Dana and John. This has been EMS Live in Wisconsin. Our next program is going to be October 25th, and we don't have a topic determined as of yet, but we will surely post that on the PAWL website. The program is streamed live the second and fourth Tuesday every month. We want to thank you for listening to today's program. If you'd like more information on the Legislative Study Committee, you can refer to the PAWL website at paaw.us. If you refer to the homepage, just look at the current PAWL priorities. You'll see the Legislative Study Committee highlighted. Just click on that highlight. That'll take you to the Study Committee's website, where they have some tremendous information published, those that have presented before the committee, some of the handouts that have been provided, and also an excellent snapshot by Margaret Kelly as to recommendations that the KIPP committee has considered at this point in time. On behalf of Larry Knuth and Patrick Ryan, this is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you very much for listening to today's program.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.